The show is live and local. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're your connection to local music and more. On the program today, Michael Hammer, who is a pianist slash organist slash keyboardist at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. He's giving a recital at the end of this week, all of piano music, as it turns out. And so we'll hear a number of examples of his playing, and we'll talk to him about himself and whatever, wherever else the conversation takes us today on Live and Local on FM 90.9. It was a performance by the new faculty cellist at the University of Illinois School of Music, Dmitry Kuzov, along with harpsichordist Peter Laul, in the first movement of a sonata for viola da gamba by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach here on WYNL, FM and HD Urbana. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. going to have some piano music on the show today. Why? Well, because we have a pianist and organist with us on the program. He is Michael Hammer, who is a keyboardist at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. And he's giving a recital Friday evening at, What time is it, Michael?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock at Faith United Methodist. And I just heard their piano, as it happens, having done a concert there on Saturday myself. And it's a very nice sounding Yamaha. And I have heard wonderful things, Michael, about your playing from various people who go to the church.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm sure many people are looking forward to that. Give us a little bit of your own background. How did you end up in Champaign-Urbana? Why are you at Faith United Methodist? And what else are you doing right now?
Well, I was born in Ohio. My education is at the Cleveland Institute of Music and the Peabody Conservatory. The Cleveland Institute of Music is obviously in Ohio. The Peabody Conservatory of the Johns Hopkins University is out there on the East Coast, where I spent about 10 years.
In Baltimore,
getting my graduate degrees, finished with a doctorate of musical arts just a few years ago, and moved out here because I fell in love with and married a young woman whose career path took her to Illinois. Hence mine as well. She's working on an MD-PhD program. Her name's Kristen Ehrenberger. And those take a while. You're working on a medical degree and a PhD.
I would imagine that just makes my head spin with work.
Well, it makes
me... even think about it.
Yeah, it makes me feel a bit lazy for only having one terminal degree. This happened about 4 years ago. 2005, we married, and I promptly moved out here and began serving as organist at Faith United Methodist Church, am also now the accompanist for the Central Illinois Children's Chorus and the chorale this year.
Did you just start that with the chorale?
I just began that this past year.
Because I know Kent Conrad had been doing that.
Yeah, that's right. I think his duties called him away sometime this summer, and I'd played with them on an occasion before, but this is my first year as the regular. I also give private lessons, so I'm keeping myself busy out here.
And we can consider that an advertisement. for your lessons?
Sure can, yeah.
If people like your playing, as we're going to hear some of it in a little bit, mm-hmm. and they might like to find themselves a teacher. A lot of piano teachers are around. I know people sometimes ask me for recommendations, and I never have any basis on recommending, because I can just say so-and-so is a good pianist. I don't know how they teach.
That's true.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit about teaching philosophy in a while, or not. Your degrees are in piano performance, or... also in organ, or
they are. They're actually in piano performance, and not in organ. I probably took the career path that a number of church organists have, who are really pianists in disguise. With the exception, though, that I think as time went on, I began more and more seriously exploring the organ literature, and now I can actually play some of it with some competence. I feel in some regards, given that the recital is on October 30th, that maybe I just missed a wonderful chance to play all sorts of awesome music for the organ, including that old war horse, the Toccata and Fugue.
Yes, of course, the day before Halloween.
But, you know, at the time, I had other things on my mind, and you know, maybe next year.
You know, this town used to have a scary organ recital right around Halloween, and it seems to me, I can't remember if this was the event or a different event where you would go from different churches around town, and there would be mm-hmm. different organists at each place, and they would all play quote unquote scary organ music. Uh-huh. It was basically organ music that
sure.
you know has gotten to be thought of as scary because somebody decided that Toccata and Fugue was and. Do you have any idea where that started?
Somebody who wasn't Bach. I'm going to guess that it was used in a movie somewhere, and I'm not an expert in the old era of the silent films, but I suspect that's where it got started.
Well, it always drums up an image for me of the Phantom of the Opera, whether it's ever been played, you know, for that film, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, for some people, the very idea of the pipe organ itself drums up the image of the Phantom of the Opera. You know, I have some friends who every time they hear me play the organ are thinking, oh, it sounds like the Phantom of the Opera. But, you know, I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but I think the latest research suggests that Bach probably just wrote that piece to try out the organ, which he did quite frequently going throughout Germany, and somebody would say, you know, please come test our organ. And given the way the piece begins with all those, with a rapid burst and then a pause for air and then another rapid burst and so forth, you could kind of imagine Bach trying out something and listening for the resonance and trying the pipes and giving his trademark comment, well, that's got a healthy set of lungs, and then trying another passage and so on.
Do you know, does the latest research, since you mentioned it, suggest that the piece is in fact by Bach? Because I know at some point it was suggested it wasn't.
I've heard that too, and I think I've so far missed the books and papers on that, because I can't recall. I believe it's something I read recently. Did take the side that in fact Bach wrote it, and now for the life of me I can't remember exactly why.
In case anybody is not sure what we're talking about, it's the famous organ tune that goes da 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 dee da 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 dum bum. That's the first statement that he mentioned. Here's air, da da dum bum beam bum bum, more space, and then goes on from there. But since we're talking about Bach, the first thing you suggested we play from one of your earlier recitals on piano is, in fact, by Bach. You want to talk about that, the recital and the piece?
Well, actually, this is by Handel.
Oh, is that Chaconne?
That's Chaconne, yeah. Bach's famous contemporary. Both of them born in 1685. Handel outlived Bach by a few years. Handel's keyboard works are not particularly highly regarded relative to some of the other things that pianists play on recitals. I was trying to figure out this morning what it was that got me started playing this piece, and I can no longer remember. I think it's gotten lost in the mists of time, but maybe my teacher suggested it. But I found it an interesting experience. This is the first thing that I played on my very first recital to get the Doctor of Musical Arts degree. Now, you have to do six of those, so you're up there for a while. An hour a piece. This is a piece that features a whole lot of repetition, and with it a chance for a lot of improvisation. And we know that Handel did a lot of improvisation. He tended to be the sort of artist at the keyboard that was constantly thinking as he went. And that gave me an opportunity, I think, to do something of the same. So the version that you'll hear will have what Handel wrote in the first half, and then every time I take the repeats, various forms of ornamentation that are my own idea. It gave me an opportunity for a type of musical creativity that frequently you can't get away with when you're at the conservatory studying the great canonic works of the masters, you know, Beethoven and Schumann and Chopin and so on. And if you add anything or leave anything out, that's cause for concern.
But on this, you got to play what's written.
In this case, that's right. And if Beethoven stuck a crescendo mark in the second half of the third beat and you put it on the second beat, well, your teacher's not going to be pleased.
Probably depends a bit on the teacher. But Handel, if you don't do the improv, you're playing it wrong.
That's right. And it's curious. In the spirit of the piece, you're playing it wrong. Obviously, it's a little hard to know how he would have approached it. I think it's fairly safe to say that not being an expert in Baroque ornamentation, I may have strayed a bit, but I tried to be reasonably authentic and have some fun with it at the same time.
So this is a Chaconne in G by George Frederick Handel, played by my guest on Live and Local today, Michael Hammer. who is giving a recital of piano music this Friday evening at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign, where he is organist and pianist. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. That was a performance by Michael Hammer, who was not yet Dr. Michael Hammer, and when he gave that recital at Peabody Institute in Baltimore, part of the Johns Hopkins University, back in, I think, 1998, was it?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
We'll go with that. Michael is my guest here on Live and Local today on FM 90.9. That was a performance of the Chaconne G by George Frideric Handel. And he's here because he's giving us a recital at the church where he plays organ and piano, Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. It's this Friday night at, I keep forgetting, 7:30?
7 o'clock.
Oh, there it is at the bottom. And our programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal and Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com. I'll have a weather forecast for you coming up at 1 o'clock. News headlines are at 1:01. Julie Amacher has more classical music for you at 1:06. Michael and I were talking as we were listening to the Handel, and he was letting me know what we're going to hear next, that about the general programming of classical piano sonatas. You know, if you have a major concert hall, you might have a whole bunch of pianists come through, and sometimes the programs they bring might as well be the same or may even be the same because there's so many. I'll let you say what you said regarding, you know, the vastness of the repertoire, and yet
the works that have become classics, and often justifiably so, nevertheless constitutes a very small minority of the larger works. Some of that probably because people are afraid that if the audience doesn't know what they're coming to hear, they won't come. But in any case, musicians, particularly composers, have been decrying this play it safe attitude for years, as they would creative persons of all types. But nevertheless, it goes on year after year. We frequently in the concert hall will hear the same program. You know, even Beethoven wrote 32 different piano sonatas, and sometimes you'll hear only three or four and wonder what happened to the rest of them. So I guess it's safe to say, having said all that, that what you're going to hear on Friday is going to be a bit different in that regard.
Want to give us an overview?
Well, I was asked to do this concert as part of an anniversary celebration. Faith United Methodist Church is turning 50 as a congregation this year. And so we're having a number of events, including some special worship services and some things that we do annually that we're taking a special approach to this year. One other event that the public will be interested in is happening on March 12th. That's going to be a program of opera arias.
Hmm.
We have a number of very gifted singers in our choir. Some of them are from the University of Illinois and other places. And they're going to be singing their favorite opera arias. I'm sure you'll be hearing more about that as we get closer, but mark your calendars for March 12th.
That sounds good.
Something that is actually not related to our anniversary celebration, but is taking place on the same day as the concert, this Friday, in the same building, is a benefit dinner and silent auction for a young man named Timothy East, who is a cancer patient. And the silent auction begins at 4 p.m., 4:30 p.m. Dinner begins at 5 p.m. It says there's a suggested donation of $5 a person, and you need tickets, evidently, for this event. You do not need tickets for my event. It is free, and you can just come and crash it and have a good time. But for the silent auction, you need to call Roy Birch, and the number I have is 202-7827. 202-7827. Now, I'm bringing this up also because we have several worship spaces at Faith, and the dinner and silent auction is taking place in one of them in our Worship and Life Center, which is in the northwest side of the building, and the concert is taking place in the North Sanctuary, which is in the northeast side of the building. We are hoping that people who are attending the dinner will go in and out of the south entrance to the building and park on the west side and the south side of the parking lot, and that people who are coming to my concert will enter through the north entrance and park on the east side, just in case we get two very large crowds and folks who are leaving for dinner stay until 6:30, quarter to 7, and people are coming in between 6:30 and 7:30 for the concert. That would alleviate some traffic flow problems if we did that.
So maybe the ideal situation, though, would be
people
go to the dinner.
You read my mind.
Do the auction.
Go to the dinner.
To the
stay for the concert. Exactly. We didn't plan it that way initially, but it's a wonderful pairing, I think.
So how about your program?
Well, my program, as I say, is going to be consist of something a little bit different. I just played some something from my classical heritage. I think that's going to rub off and be evident in the pieces that you'll hear, but they are in fact based on hymn tunes that we are familiar with in the Methodist Church. Because of this anniversary situation, I wanted to celebrate some of the heritage that we, not just in our building, but in Christianity in general, are familiar with, but to do it in a way that basically does not take that heritage and slavishly worship it, I guess. So these are going to be new approaches to old things. There's not a great deal of literature, as you might be aware, of liturgically based pieces for piano. I've found, much to my dismay, that many of the things that are being published these days are not terribly imaginative, not very technically or musically challenging. Maybe you figured out there's a composer in me speaking about all this. And so I found basically the solution to that is you maybe just stop complaining about it and write some of these things yourself.
So is that what these are? A lot of these are your
compositions? That's basically what you're going to be hearing. You know.
And you have a sample that I think we have queued up next.
We do, yeah. This is probably the first thing that we're going to all hear together on Friday night.
So this is definitely a teaser for the concert. The Handel was a misrepresentation of what the concert will be like, but a good representation of an aspect of your playing, because you said there's no Baroque music on it.
That's right.
So this is what?
This is a piece based on a hymn which is titled Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. I've entitled the piece itself Blessing. You will hear the hymn about a minute or so in, but there is, in the style of a toccata, I don't recall whether we've spoken about this on air or off air, but I think it was on air when we talked about the toccata with its fits and starts and so forth. This piece actually borrows from somewhat the same tradition. There you'll hear the pianist warming up, as it were, and it's sort of an invitational hymn, so it seemed an appropriate thing to do.
So this is a music by and performance by Michael Hammer, who is organist pianist at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. He's giving a recital there this Saturday evening, and
Friday.
He's my guest. Sorry, I keep saying Saturday, and I picture Friday in on the calendar. Friday, 7:00. He's my guest on Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
performance by Michael Hammer of a piece of his own devising called Blessing, based on the hymn tune Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which he will be playing as part of his recital Friday night at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. It's on South Prospect, just south of Kirby. He's the organist and pianist and keyboardist there. And that recital begins at 7 o'clock. And as we mentioned earlier, as he mentioned earlier, if you're interested in a potentially inexpensive but beneficial dinner, which I mean in two different ways, it's a benefit event for a young man named Timothy East, diagnosed with a brain tumor. He's all of 9 years old, and so it's a benefit for him. That starts at, the auction starts at, there's a silent auction, starts at 4:30, dinner following after that. And then if you like, stick around for Michael's recital, or the other way around. If you mean to go to the recital and want some dinner, then go ahead to that benefit. It's all at Faith United Methodist Church this Friday. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is WYLL-FM. And you're listening to Live and Local. We'll continue our conversation with Michael Hammer in just a moment. Wanted to go over my events calendar for today. I actually don't have anything on my calendar for tonight in our listening area. It certainly does not mean nothing is going on, which prompts me to say that if you know of events that maybe you don't hear on the calendar or would like to hear on the calendar, or if you're involved with organizations that you would like to have perhaps as guests on this show, let me know by writing to willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's willcalendar@illinois.edu. Tomorrow night at the Illinois State University in Normal, there's a faculty pianist recital, piano recital. That's at 8 o'clock tomorrow. At the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow night, and Tuesday night for that matter, evenings of jazz vocals from the University of Illinois. 7 o'clock on Tuesday, 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, the Virsky Ukrainian National Dance Company is at the Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana, 7:30 Wednesday. Illinois State University's Guitar Ensemble is performing Wednesday night at 7:30 in Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus in Normal. Central High School presents Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, beginning Wednesday, 7:30. It also runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And there's a matinee on Sunday as well. And there's a jazz improvisation class sponsored by Parkland College, or rather the Parkland Jazz Improv class is performing Wednesday night at the Iron Post in Urbana. That's at 5:30, and that precedes the U of I Jazz Vocalists at 8 o'clock. So those are just some items on our calendar. Again, let us know about yours, willcalendar@illinois.edu. Our program and our calendar today are made possible with support from Parkland Art Gallery at Parkland College. The gallery's exhibits illustrate a wide range of traditional and innovative work by contemporary artists of regional and national status. Exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and Michael Hammer is with us talking about his recital on Friday, but also about some other things. You were talking about improvisation earlier, and also, you know, sort of how that inspired the piece that we just heard. How much improvising do you do on the organ on Sunday mornings? I know some organists do quite a bit of it and some won't touch it.
Well, I think I've been on a little bit better behavior since I've moved out here, actually. I used to do a bit more. And some of it, I guess, was very avant-garde. I've tried all sorts of things. I guess, you know, that improvisation class that you just brought up with the calendar is very interesting, because even that has a kind of tradition that's grown around it. The idea of, if you're a jazz pianist, you better improvise. If you're, say, a classical pianist, you probably shouldn't. And, of course, there are some people on both sides of that divide who buck the trend, as it were. I began improvising fairly young as a pianist. I did not wander into jazz. I play a little bit of it, but I'm really not that comfortable improvising in a jazz idiom. For a number of years, I was the church pianist, so I would improvise on the piano rather than on the organ. So, you know, all sorts of things that you might not expect came together in that way. But I have done a fair amount of organ improvisation, and sometimes it just depends on what the needs of the service are. I think historically that's probably why organists got into it in the first place. There's that continual demand for new music and not enough time to practice, and then you really never know what's going to happen at the service. How long is the offertory going to take? How long is communion going to take? And so forth. And so you really need to be able to fit the music to the occasion, and you may not have the opportunity to plan something exactly. Or, as happened to me many, many years ago, a pastor just simply turned around at one point in the service. I think the children were passing out roses to their mothers or something, and it unannounced, and he said, Michael, give us a little traveling music. And boom, you know.
You've got to do something.
Instant music must be provided, or there will be dead space.
And I imagine some churches, of course, don't have organ music. There's no organ. Sure. In different kind of tradition. And then certain liturgical churches have certain things happen always at certain times. Mm-hmm. And I know at some churches, at an offertory, during the offering, the organist will play. Maybe it will be a composed piece that is advertised, mm-hmm. Or they'll do an improvisation, or some churches, such as where I have the choir, we'll do a choir anthem, so everybody's mm-hmm. got their own right. tradition. And there's different places to improvise in certain traditions, again, such yeah. as the Episcopal Church and probably the Catholic Church. Sometimes they will do incense, for example, and such as at our place, then the organ will often improvise. Right. Yeah. So it all
kind of depends. It's quite a diversity of approaches. And I wanted to say almost yes to just about everything you said. I think at one point in our building, we've taken practically every approach.
You've done
we've
all those
sung
things.
It. I've improvised it. I've played scripted, composed works by myself and others. And I like the thought that it's not going to be the same approach every week, and that one can explore in this wide world of various approaches, various valid approaches to how to solve problems of that sort on a very practical level, and also how to have how to come to these spiritual and musical experiences. What are different ways that we can approach that?
Speaking of surprises, the next piece you brought along also will not be on Friday night's program, but you said you sort of amused some folks at the church with your playing of Rags.
I felt like I needed to, in case there are members of the chorale listening, this is the adult choir in the area that I've begun to accompany. And by the way, while I'm at it, I should mention that they have a concert coming up on Sunday, November 8th. At the Wesley Foundation at 7 o'clock. That may not be on the calendar yet. It's still a couple of weeks away, but that's coming up.
I know I'm communicating with Julie Beiler, who conducts that group, about having her on to talk about that. So hopefully
sure.
we'll be hearing
I'm
more
sure
about that.
Sure, she'd love to be on in a week or so. But we have an annual retreat. It's 7 or 8 hours that we get together down at Allerton and get a chance to
this is the chorale.
Get to know one another, and this is the chorale. And one of the things that Julie asked me to do is to play a couple of pieces for them after dinner. And I did that. I obliged with this this piece that we're going to hear by William Albright. I first made William Albright's acquaintance at the Peabody Conservatory back, I think, in 1997. Unfortunately, he passed away a year later. He was all of about 55 when his untimely death occurred. But I got to know him, and one of the things that I sort of became known for at Peabody was that I played works of living composers quite frequently. And so this is one of them. This is called the Grand Sonata in Rag. I played the third movement for the folks at the retreat, and I thought I would share the first movement with you today. It's called Scott Joplin's Victory.
Music by William Albright, played by Michael Hammer, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. That's a delightful performance of a delightful piece. It's the first movement of the Grand Sonata in Rag by American composer William Allwright. That movement has a title, Scott Joplin's Victory. And it was played for us by Michael Hammer, not live in our studio. It was actually from a doctoral recital he gave at the Peabody Institute about 10 years ago. And Michael's been my guest here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's giving a recital Friday night, I got that right this time, 7 o'clock at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. It's on South Prospect, just south of Kirby, a free concert. And he is the organist and pianist there, and it should be a fun concert. And appreciate very much, Michael, your coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have a great show on Friday.
I will.
Our programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta is now open in their new location at Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. It's going to be a cloudy afternoon with a chance of a few passing showers. The high temperature will be around 62 with wind from the south at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, a cloudy sky, some showers, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of a few late afternoon showers, the high 62. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, the high 62. It's currently 60, coming up on a minute past 1. This is WYLL, FM and HD Urbana. We operate translators, W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. We're the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.